Alrighty, are we ready for God's word this morning? Am I on? Hello? All right, let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, please. Once again, it's towards the middle of your Bible. Daniel 2, kind of middle to the, let's say, 60% into your Bible. All right, and we're going to continue along the lines that we began last week on times and seasons. Times and seasons. So I want to begin with a story, okay? There was an older gentleman that was seen by his doctor. He had a doctor's appointment, and the older gentleman thought it was going well. Everything went well. So he went out, and sure enough, one day the doctor was out and about with his wife, and he ran into the older gentleman. The older gentleman had a nice younger gal under his arm. How many of y'all know that older gentleman had money? Right? They be called sugar daddies these days, because ain't no young girl going to go up with pops, right? So anyway, I better stop the improvising. I better get to the story. And so the doctor's like, "What are you doing?" He said, "Doc, hello." He said, "Well, I'm following your directions. You said, get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor said, "I didn't say that. I said, you've got a heart murmur. Be careful." How many of y'all know that guy's risking an early grave? All right, Daniel chapter 2. We're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 21, and this is speaking about the Lord, and it says, He, God, verse 21, He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Very interesting. Two things that we need to note in that verse, and that is God changes times and seasons, and that we as God's people must receive wisdom to discern the times and the seasons that we are living in today. Can I get a witness on that, please? Amen. You know, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 says that the sons of Issachar knew the times they were living in, and they also knew what to do about the times they were living in. We said last week, in short, that, we as a church, and I'm going to paint with a broad brush this morning, collectively, the Church of Jesus Christ Universal, we are way behind the times in trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. You know, we assume that they know what we know. Who would agree with me today that this current generation, they were not raised, a lot of them were not raised in Sunday school class. Many more were not raised in church. I was looking at statistics by Barna Research, the Barna Research Group, and they are a pollster that takes the pulse of the Christian world. And George Barna, the founder of this research group, says that since 1993, listen carefully, since 1993, he did this research in 2020, he says that a third less Americans call themselves Christians in America. Don't you think that it would be wise of us to understand that and to understand the times that we are living in? You can talk to me. Come on, somebody. You know, we said that in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached a great message to his audience. Peter understood his audience. They were Jews. So he quoted from the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, to talk about Jesus and his resurrection. You know, the Bible talks a lot about Jesus. Hello. And to talk about Jesus. But then we fast forwarded to Acts chapter 17, where Paul the Apostle was preaching to pagans. They did not know the Lord. They worshipped an unknown God. They were idol worshipers. They were pagan. And we made the point that Paul did not preach the same message Peter did in Acts 2. Come on, somebody. That would have gone over all the people's heads on Mars Hill. Paul preached a message that they could understand. And we're saying, we said that, you know, it's unfortunate that in the 21st century, we're preaching Acts 2 messages to an Acts 17 audience. That is not going to go over. Can I get a witness, please? You know, I opened up with that little joke, but you know, it bears a fact. How many of us know that sometimes we don't listen the way we should listen? You know, that was true of the early church disciples, of Jesus' disciples. Jesus told them so much, and some of these guys, the Bible says that they were hard of heart, that they did not get the message that Jesus wanted them to get and to do. How many times did Jesus tell his disciples, I want you to go into the world and preach the gospel to how many people? All people. Preach the gospel. That's Mark chapter 16. And then in Matthew 28, we'll look at it after a while. It says, go forth and make disciples of all nations. Was Jesus' mandate pretty clear? It's pretty clear, wasn't it? But do you want to know something? They were not all about that initially. You know what they were all about? Jesus establishing his earthly kingdom. In fact, let's look at Acts chapter 1, please. Verses 6 through 8. When the disciples, were come together and Jesus, they asked of him, Jesus saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the seasons which the Father has put in his power. Now stop there. What were they after? What was foremost on their heart, the disciples of Christ? Will you restore the kingdom now? Are you going to bring your earthly kingdom? Isn't that funny? What was on Jesus' mind? He was, go out, preach, tell people, tell others about me, right? And these numbskulls, sorry, it's in the Joe Berzino translation somewhere. And these numbskulls, listen, did not get it. They're all about, Lord, establish your kingdom because I want to sit at your right hand and I want to sit at your left hand and I want to be the greatest in your kingdom. Wasn't that what was foremost in their mind? And notice what the Lord says. Next verse, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Alrighty, I'm going to read it. Verse 8 says, but you shall, notice Jesus just finished telling him, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my what to me? Witnesses. You shall be my what to me? Witnesses. So isn't Jesus reiterating the point, telling them yet again what his plan has been all along? It's not about the earthly kingdom. It's not about the second coming. Can I get a witness, please? Amen. It's not about the second coming. The Lord said, you're going to be my witnesses. This is your job now. This is your full-time job now, disciples of mine. You're going to be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, not only in Judea, not only in Samaria, but all throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. Isn't that a pretty clear mandate? Now, let's bring it up to today. How many of us as believers, all we want to know is, Lord, now will you restore your kingdom? Lord, when is your second coming? I want to know about the rapture. I want to hear about the rapture. If you don't think that happens, think of how many books have been written that talk about Jesus Christ is going to come back on this date. Right, Mama Jans? You worked at a bookstore. You've probably seen them written. The first one that I came across was 1988. 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ is going to Come Back in 88. And then 88 blew over, and so the guy said, I made a mathematical miscalculation. I'm going to rewrite the book. I'm going to edit it. 89 Reasons Why Jesus Christ is going to come back in 1989. Did he come back, church? What about Y2K? Jesus is coming back. Did Jesus come back? What about 2012, the Mayan calendar? You know, that's really dumb. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man does not know when the Father has set his time for the Son to come to earth. So why would God the Father bypass the Son and entrust this secret to the Mayans? But Christians believe the Mayans. Golly, sometimes I just want to take my hand and just go to all these Christians and say, wake up! That's not what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus is not about us trying to figure out when his coming is. We have a job to do, don't we, church family? And what is the job? Go! Proclaim! Tell people, tell them that there is love and forgiveness and a new life through Jesus Christ. You know, one time I had my daughter, Gabby. Sweet, I miss Gabby. Don't you all miss Gabby? Oh, gosh. I remember she used to come right through the doors with her hair windblown and her dress kind of half. She would come in just about as I was about to preach, and I told her, I said, sweetie, you need to be here before the song starts. Oh, Dad, you don't understand. Just as stubborn as her father, right? So, but anyway, she called me when she was in college, and she was very alarmed and disheveled and distraught. She said, Dad, I have a friend of mine that told me that we need to get our lives right because Jesus Christ is going to come tomorrow. I said, what? I said, and she, my sweet, poor daughter, she was really worked up into a frenzy. I said, Gabby, you tell your friend they're out to lunch. Those were my words. You tell your friend they're out to lunch. You tell them that they don't know what they're talking about. And tomorrow, I said, when the Lord does not come back, you rub it in their face. This is your sweet little pastor. I said that. The next day I called Gabby. Hey, Gabby, how's it going? You feel any better? Oh, yeah, Dad, no big deal. I'm like, how many of y'all know some people like D-R-A-M-A? They like to create drama. I'm not talking about my daughter. I'm talking about her friend. They like to amplify drama. They like to spread drama. And they're not content in keeping that drama to themselves. They want to drag as many people as they can with them. Boom, 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 boom. You know, baby, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not the brightest bulb in the tanning bed, however you want to phrase that, you know. I don't need any tanning bed. I got a tan year-round all around. But anyway, let's get back on. Let's get spiritual here. But you know, I can tell you, and I can't tell you what I was going to tell you. I forgot. I think that light bulb kind of in the tanning bed just dimmed a little more after that. But look, I don't know when the Lord's coming. He said he didn't know. So why would the Father bypass his beloved Son and entrust this to some other numbskull people? Can I get a witness, please? And yet people are caught up. Their times and their seasons are all about, that the Lord's going to come. The Lord's going to come. These are some of the things I've heard, okay? Because there's some Old Testament prophecies that when the Lord's return is at hand, that there will be some foxes around the temple. How many souls are dying and going to hell? Well, we're so caught up trying to identify the foxes. Gosh. Or they say there's going to be a red heifer appear miraculously in the temple. And so I've heard the reports. Oh, yeah, these are photos taken from the Jerusalem mound. We have seen foxes, and we have seen there's a red heifer has had an appearing at. Is that what Jesus said to be concerned with? But we are doing that. We're so caught up and obsessed about the heifers and the foxes. You know what Jesus is concerned about? In John chapter 4, verse 35, he said, don't say in your hearts there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. He said, I tell you that right now, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. So instead of looking for heifers and foxes, can we just look at the fields, church family? Can we just look at the fields? I mean, you farmers know it, and you know, even this city boy here, I can drive through the country roads and see that the fields are getting close to harvest. Shouldn't it be a sign that the fact that a third of the American people no longer call themselves Christians since 1993, shouldn't that be a sign that we should step up our efforts to reach them? I know you believe this with me, but who believes with me that every living being, every living soul has a right to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? And can we get it straight? It is good news. That God loves them, that God will forgive them no matter what they've sinned, no matter what sin they've practiced, no matter what kind of lifestyle they've led. God loves and God forgives. Amen. And if you don't believe that, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, not 21, but 20, that we are ambassadors for God and that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. So if the Lord does not count people's sins against them, why do we Christians feel like we have to hold their sins against them? Well, it's gotten quiet. Pastor Joe, you were preaching pretty good when you were talking about them foxes and heifers, but don't talk about judging the lost. You know, I just have found that you cannot reach people you're going to judge. Either you love them or you're going to judge them. But you can't have half love in your heart and half judgment in your heart. Either you're going to love them, and it's not what we're commanded to do. So I'm going to say it the way Billy Graham said it. It is God the Father's job to judge. It is Jesus Christ the Son's job to save. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of sin. It is our job as children of God to love people. At no point am I or are we the judge. At no point are you and I called to save people. You don't believe that? At no point are you and I called to convict people of their sin. We are called to just love them. Now, what part of that mathematical equation do we not understand? Why do we feel we have to prejudge them? Why do we feel that we have to convict them of their sin? That, well, I'll love them once they realize that they're sinning. Really? What if the Lord had taken that attitude toward any of us in here? How many of us would be here right now? Sweetheart, we'd be busting hell wide open. Right? All right, let's look at one last scripture. So far, so good, everybody? Yes. How many of y'all still love me? Yes. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, out of the New Living Translation. Lord, listen, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise of his second coming, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So why doesn't Jesus Christ come back? He is holding back for whose sake? Our sake. Don't you think he's holding back for the lost people's sake? Yes. So that more people could come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? You know, maybe you thank you. Took the words right out of my mouth, Brent. You know, you come to this church, baby, our heartbeat is one of reaching the lost. Amen. At all biblical cost. Amen. If God's heart is to hold back to prevent the second coming, maybe a decade, maybe 2 decades, maybe a year more, for more people to come to Jesus, then why shouldn't that be our attitude as well? Amen? All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word? Let me ask that again. Oh, we'll go another 20 minutes. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word? Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your Word, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Thank you, God, for your revelation and your heartbeat for the lost. Help us to not lose sight of that, Lord. Lord, that is your heart. That's been your heart all along. You are holding back Jesus coming so that more people could come to know him. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.